When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome back to the Anfield Talk YouTube channel. This is a brand new TAT pod. I'm here with Mohammed. You guys know Mohammed, but how you doing, mate?
I'm good. I hope everyone in the chat's good also. I'm good.
Yeah, man. International break's come and gone now, thankfully. So, yeah, we're back here on the channel. We'll be here every pre-match, every post-match, with other bits and pieces as well, guys. So, it's good to see you back, mate. And James, who's an Everton fan, who I've done a video before when things. What video was it, James? Actually,
it was when Benitez got appointed Everton manager.
That was it. Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Of course, it was. It was when Rafa Benitez controversially made the move to Everton. Yeah, let's just say it wasn't a great video to film on our perspective. But how are you, James? You good?
I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully more of a positive video than that one.
Yeah, and James, obviously people watching might be wondering, like Liverpool fans that don't have Scouse accents, you know, there's millions of us, but for the people that are watching that might be thinking, an Everton fan that's not got that accent, do you want to just sort of, because I know you told me before, and I know all about how you started supporting Everton, do you want to give a backstory on sort of how long you've been supporting Everton for, what made you, you know, fall in love with Everton and that kind of thing?
Yeah, so my dad's from Liverpool and my granddad as well. So they were both season ticket holders. And then I think I've had my season ticket for about 12 years now and started going away the last couple of years as well. So nice. Like just got into it through that, but never looked back really.
No, exactly. Yeah, followed their footsteps. And obviously, as you can tell, guys, we're going to touch on the Merseyside derby. We're just briefly going to talk about the international break because I know it's boring. It's absolutely terrible. But Mo, yeah, there's ups and downs for us. We had Darwin Nunez scoring goals. We had players putting in good performances. Dom Szoboszlai played really well for Hungary. But it also had its downs, didn't it? Andy Robertson is now looking like he's going to be out for a lengthy amount of time. So, first of all, how relieved are you that club football's back? And second of all, are you a bit apprehensive about this one? Because obviously the likes of Darwin Nunez, who's only literally just came back today, do you think that might have a part to play on Saturday's game?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, 12-day kickoffs in the last few games have been absolutely horrendous for us. I think there's like some crazy stat about how many games. I don't think we won a single 12-day kickoff last season, actually. We didn't win any of the draw or loss, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, and so far, I don't think our previous 12-30 kickoff we won either. I don't think so. So they haven't been good for us. It doesn't show as well, and especially given the context that we do have a few South American players and Robertson being injured and getting injured, and it's the Merseyside derby, the whole thing just becomes all of the conditions, all the factors going into this game don't really suit us. But it is our home, which is the only thing, which is a massive positive. If it was away from home, I couldn't support 12-day kickoff. Absolutely horrendous, but it's our home, so that's a massive positive for us. And just quickly on the Robertson thing, I'm hoping that Tsimikas, I know he's been playing quite well for his country recently, and I know he hasn't really had a look in this season, but I just hope he can kind of replicate that similar form that he had at the beginning of the 2021 season, where if you guys remember, Robertson got injured in pre-season. He came in, and Tsimikas was excellent. He got a few assists, he was putting in great crosses, and he was playing very well for us. So I hope that Tsimikas can have that same mentality he had when he came in for Robertson that season, which is to just smash it and go really put some good performance. And if he does that, we know he can be a very competent left-back at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. Spot on. And we'll probably get on to a bit more with Tsimikas a bit later on when we discuss the lineups, because obviously if you guys have watched our previous shows before, we do like to do predicted lineups, and I think there's a bit of a conversation as to whether it will be Tsimikas or whether people would rather go with one of the centre backs there. Whoops, that is not the button that I meant to press. There we go. There has been those sort of conversations taking place, and maybe someone may have seen my tweet a few days ago. Actually, I said that I'd rather a centre back play there because I'm not too impressed with Kostas Tsimikas this season, or not just this season. When he's played, I don't really rate him. But that debate will come when me and Mo pick the Liverpool team a bit later on. But James, coming to you, mate, how was the international break for you and the players that you have that may have played? I don't obviously follow Everton players as closely as you, but first of all, did many of them go out and play? And are you in the same boat as us? Did any come back sort of missing a limb or anything?
Well, we're in. That's probably where we have the upper hand on you. We've had less players go out on international. Obviously, Pickford played the other night for England. Amadou Onana got sent off for Belgium the other day. But apart from that, I'm not aware of any injuries anyone's picked up. And we don't have any South Americans anymore since Richarlison left and James and Yerry Mina. So no one's coming back after playing like early Wednesday morning like a few of your lads will have done.
Exactly, yeah. Darwin Nunes played against Brazil and I think that was midnight. Midnight on Wednesday or Tuesday, one of them anyway. But he came back today. He came back and now in the training. Everyone is in full training apart from the players that we obviously know of, like Thiago, Bacetic, Robertson. Gakpo was actually training today, which was a nice surprise. I didn't think he would be back, but he is. We'll get onto that a bit later on. But James, sticking with you, I want to hear about Everton's season. I want to hear about the start of the season because obviously last year it was looking really bleak. You know, I went to Southampton away the last day of the season and there was a bit of a party atmosphere hoping that Everton would be going down. We didn't really have anything to play for at all. So there's a few songs going around. Didn't happen. Obviously, you stayed up. And this season, let me just check. You are currently 16th, 2 wins from 8 with 1 draw and 5 losses. So, yeah, talk about the start to the season for Everton and how do you feel like, do you think that that's going to have an impact in this game or is it one of them where, you know, it just might not have any sort of impact at all?
Well, there's sort of been two different stories, really. Our home record's been terrible. We had some, you'd like to think, early fixtures that looked good on paper that we were creating a lot of chances, but just nothing was going in. I think if you looked at the XG table, I know some people don't rate it, but we'd be like second on the league in the league or something. So we lost to Wolves at home, we lost to Fulham at home, Luton at home, but then we bounced back against Bournemouth, won 3-0 the other day. That was like the last game before the break. So maybe the break's come at a bad time for us hitting a bit of form, but away from home, it's been pretty positive. We won 2 in a week, Brentford away 3-1, and then went to Villa Park on the Wednesday and won 2-1. And neither of them grounds are easy places to go to. And that's where we've, the last few years, I'd say that our away form's been what's been letting us down. And we've been pretty good at home, whereas this season it's totally different. So I'm kind of like, I think we've got more of a chance that it's at Anfield than if you were coming to Goodison on Saturday, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds crazy. And obviously, James, your last win against us was obviously at Anfield in the lockdown season. And obviously that was one that I often forget it happened, not just because it's Everton and we lost at home. That season for me was a blur, but yeah, that was your last win against us. Do you think Sean Dyche is going to come in and change your fortune and get a result, or do you think, like, what are you hoping for in this game and what are your expectations, like, realistically?
I think we need to go 1-0 up. I think we've, under Dyche, we've never won a game having gone 1-0. In all honesty, I can see you guys winning it, but if we were to win it, I'd say we score first half and then go pretty solid. I can see Decore scoring. He's got a few goals recently. He's very good at on corners and stuff, like the not winning the first ball, but it always seems to fall to him and he's got a good strike on him. So I'd say he's our most likely scorer. But Yeah, I think if we do get a result, it'll be a 1-0. It won't be a it's not going to be like a 3-2 or something. I could see a 0-0 or a 1-1, but I'd say if you score first half, that's game over.
There's been so many draws. Obviously, last season we beat you 2-0, but we also drew at your place. So it just shows that both results have happened recently. Mo, coming to you, mate, from our side of things, the season so far, I think it's been good.
Lots
it's been positive.
Lots of positives in terms of like performance exactly, wise. Yeah. Like the feeling amongst fans is definitely positive, even though the last two results haven't been wins for us. The fact that we're going into this international break knowing that we're in a good place, and it's more just a belief, I guess. More that kind of. It's not whereas last season where every international break or after a couple of games, it feels like doomsday or radical shit. That the social media, the vibe around the stadium, the belief within the team, the squad, all that is very much positive. And just quickly, I was going to mention the Sean Dyche thing. Like, Sean Dyche actually has a very, very poor record against Klopp. I don't know if that actually come into play when it comes to the game, because obviously he's with Everton now. But I think other than the 1-0 that we lost with the penalty, his only other win against Klopp was that one. I don't know if you guys remember 2016 Burnley Liverpool, ages ago, like beginning of 2016 season. It was ages ago, and that's his only other win against Klopp. So. And Sean Dyche does tend to have a poor record against managers like Klopp and Pep, and it tends to be big scorelines as well. Actually, so like people often associate Dyche with very hard to score against, but we tend to score quite a lot. We tended to score quite a lot of goals against Burnley when we played him before Everton, but. But yeah, I definitely the point James made about Doucouré is a very good point, because Doucouré and even players like Onana also, these players love to go very advanced in midfield, like late runners in the box or getting tap-ins in the box, and that could be quite a very weak point for us. I know the one negative about us this season is that we have been very leaky, very, very leaky, and it's leaky in the sense that it's not like for 90 minutes we get battered or for 90 minutes we concede those chances. It's more that lapse of concentration, that lapse in the high line or that deflection in the box or a missed corner or something like that. We can be very error prone when it comes to stuff like this, and players like Doucouré and Onana, they will feast on opportunities. Like, they will feast on a good corner, they will feast on a mistimed tackle in the box or somebody, a ball ricocheting or something, and they will score. And this could be and that's where I see our biggest weak point. So I definitely agree with James that if we're going to concede, it probably will be to someone like Onana or Doucouré, and it definitely will be a set piece or a ricochet or something like that, 100%.
Yeah, I'd add James Garner to that list as well. He's been very good at pressing and winning it back high up the pitch,
yeah,
and starting chances.
Everton's midfield, that intensity in their midfield is their biggest strength. That because you can talk about the rest of their players, but that midfield three gives them all every single game, and you can see it, and you can see it in the way they play. But it isn't like last season. This time we do have a different midfield. We have a midfield that we can all say we believe in more, even though the number six issue is a big issue. And we will talk about. I know we're going to talk about the lineup later, but McAllister playing number six is going to be a very, very heated debate point in terms of if he actually ends up playing there or what a midfield three is. Because I think in this Everton game, when you look at where all their strengths come from, our midfield is going to be the biggest area in terms of whether we win or lose that game. So yeah, I definitely think the battle is going to be midfield. It's a cliche, but definitely against the game against Everton, when you consider all of their strengths and their intensity comes from midfield, we're going to win or lose it in midfield 100%.
Yeah, I think I might have a little drop in my connection here, so apologies if it's lagging or anything. Am I all right?
Yeah,
all good.
Yeah, good. I agree. I think obviously this season we've conceded first an awful lot, and I think that's a habit that we're trying to get out of. So I think obviously Everton are going to come out at us and do whatever they can to either force corners or maybe long throw-ins or something like that. But we've got to be confident, Mo, because like you said, we've seen the good signs this season. Obviously, we're seeing some things where we need to improve on slightly, but I was at this game last season when we won 2-0, the one where the Robertson and Pickford thing happened, and Gakpo got his first goal as well. And that's in a season where, let's be honest, we were absolutely shocking. Even at home against teams like Everton and Leeds United, and even like that Leicester City game that we won. I remember coming home from that game thinking, like, we've won, but how, sort of thing. So I'm just thinking, like, if you can beat them then surely now, like, if things are clicking with Dom Szoboszlai, you know, just absolutely running things from midfield, we have to be confident, but obviously we can't be naive because this is a derby day. These are our local rivals, and they are going to want to come here and do something, whether it be a draw or a win. We can't take them for granted. If it was somebody like Luton or Forest or somebody coming to Anfield, then yeah, you know, we'd probably all be here very confident. And I am confident, don't get me wrong, but what I'm saying is we can't be too confident because this is a derby day game. Like I said, they are going to come to Anfield and try and win. And like you said, the intensity of their midfield is going to be there. So yeah, let's get straight to the lineups then. Let's get into predicted lineups, and we will go with, even though, James, you are the visitors, we do like to do guests first on this channel.
Sure,
so we are going to go with the Everton team first. Is this the sort of formation, or is it going to be something
different? 4-3-3, kind of. Yeah, that works.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
What I would say is that I think we're in a much better position than when we last came to Anfield in terms of, we had Ellis Sims starting up front.
Yes, he did.
Because we only had two fit strikers in Neil Mopay and Ellis Sims. And that Dyche even said today in his press conference that with respect to Ellis Sims, he's a Dominic Calvert-Lewin's in a different category to him.
Of course.
A fully fit and firing Calvert-Lewin's up there with one of the best strikers in the league for me. So obviously it'll be Pickford in goal. Do you want me to go for what I think the lineup would be, like what I think Dyche will pick, or what I pick?
Just whatever you feel, mate. What you want to see, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go for. So there would be when we went to Villa away the other week, we went five at the back, and he put Michael Keane in there. So he could do that, but I don't think he will. So the centre backs will be Tarkowski on the right and Jared Brathwaite on the left. They've been pretty solid this year. Brathwaite's had a very good start.
I had Brathwaite on my FPL bench the other week, and he got 6 points or 7 points. I was fuming.
Oh yeah, yeah. He had a good loan spell at PSV last season, and then he's come in and he's looked very good so far, and he's getting minutes for England under 21s as well, which is positive. And then fullbacks, I'd say that's the weakest area of our team. I'd probably go Mikalenko on the left, and it's a coin toss between Patterson and Ashley Young, really. I'd probably end up going Nathan Patterson. But both of them, like, I don't think there'd be many other clubs in the Premier League that swap their fullbacks for ours. That probably needs addressing in the summer. And then the midfield, you've got four very good midfielders, Onana, Idrissa Gueye, James Garner and Doucouré. But I think he'll go with what he went against Bournemouth last time out. Amadou Onana, James Garner and Doucouré playing higher up behind the striker. Onana would be the one sitting more, I think. And then Doucouré will be much more advanced, sort of playing off Calvert-Lewin, really. He started Idrissa Gueye last week, but he got injured in the warm up, so Onana ended up replacing him, which turned out to be like very lucky because he was one of our best players that day. Onana.
Did you say Joe Garner is the other one?
James Garner.
James Garner, sorry, not Joe.
Right. Yeah, and then
there you go.
I think the front three sort of picks itself of McNeil off the left, Calvert-Lewin in the middle, and Jack Harrison on the right. I think Dan Juma's looked good when he's played, but he doesn't seem to. He's not the sort of traditional Dyche winger of sort of helping the fullback out as well and getting up and down. And McNeil's been very good on the dyke, and Jack Harrison scored a great goal against Bournemouth, and he works hard as well.
Incredible goal.
Yeah, and I think he did. He score at Anfield last season, Jack Harrison.
I think he did.
Yeah, he did.
James, talk through us about this team then. Where the danger zone is going to be, and obviously me and Mohammed haven't done ours yet, but you pretty much know, at least in the defence, what it's probably going to look like. So we're again on the flip side of that. Where do you think you're going to target us as well?
So I think traditionally most teams come and attack that right hand side against Liverpool, don't they? With Alexander Arnold at right back, but Mikalenko's not really the sort of fullback that'd be overlapping kind of. So McNeil's got a that'll be a good battle, I think, to see McNeil up against Alexander Arnold. So I think we'll just be trying to hit you on the break, really. And there's a lot of energy in that midfield, and Harrison, McNeil, and Calvert-Lewin are very good on the break as well. So I think that's where our chances will come from. But our weak area is our fullbacks, really. I think Mikalenko defended really well against Salah at Goodison last year, and he's had some very good games against Bukayo Saka as well. So defensively, he seems pretty solid, and McNeil's very good at coming back and helping him on that left-hand side. But I think, yeah, the wide areas is where you'll get your joy, I think, because the midfield's pretty solid.
Yeah. And Mo, coming to you before we pick our team, mate, what in this team are you looking at which makes you think, okay, actually, we might have to like tighten up here or there? Is there anything from that team that worries you?
I mean, we touched on the midfield threat that they pose, and they pose a humongous midfield threat. I mean, like I said, Doucouré and Onana, especially these two are players who can definitely finish in the box, and they're humongous set piece threats. And the intensity of our midfield, and I know Szoboszlai and McAllister have played fantastic for the club so far, but that number six issue in the hole is a massive issue. I mean, can you imagine if we're trying to play out the back and you have Onana and Doucouré and Garner pressing our six, or similar to a situation that happened at Brighton where that first 20 minutes they killed us just by the intensity of their midfield and that pressure they put on our midfield of McAllister. So I look at our midfield and I see humongous threats. But just away from the midfield, I also look at McNeil also. I mean, McNeil and Trent, I do think Trent and McNeil have had some good battles in recent years. I know they actually know each other personally also. And I think McNeil can definitely be a threat for us in behind 100%. I think he barely scores goals, but when he does score, they're typically good goals. And I think that 1v1, he possesses a very, very, very good dribbling threat. And James mentioned also with Mikulenko, he's a fantastic fullback also. He's defensively solid, and he also poses an attacking threat also offensively. But I don't think Everton are going to have too many attacking opportunities. It's going to be on the break where they kill us. And on the break, they're going to kill us through either a misplaced pass that we do, or they win the ball back high of the pitch. And if they win back on the pitch, it's very, very likely that their midfielders are going to be involved in terms of who ends up scoring or who ends up winning the ball back. So definitely, yeah. But overall, I look at our team and I look at the context we're in right now and the context Everton are in right now, and I do think we should win the game. I do think that we have enough in our first 11 to contain that team. I do think that we have enough in our team to be able to score goals against that Everton team. I don't think they're as defensively resolute as they have been in the past against us. I don't think it's going to be. I look at that team and I think we should win, hopefully. And I say that considering our team also and the good moment that we're in also as well. So definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get on to our team in a moment. I agree with you. Let me just put that team back on for a second, actually. I think the midfield as well, when obviously Harrison's a tricky player, McNeil's a tricky player, and Calvert-Lewin, we've not really spoken on him as much as we probably should have, to be honest. I think he's right. I think when Calvert-Lewin's on it and when Calvert-Lewin's on form, he's a very scary player, and obviously he's had his injury problems and he's had all sorts of things going on, and he's not probably played as much football as Everton fans would have hoped. But again, from set pieces, we keep saying it, from corners, I think long balls as well is going to be something they're going to look to do if we play that high line, which we obviously will. We play it every single game. yeah, he's sort of just going to linger around the halfway line and wait for those chances. So I think that's where it's going to come. But again, I agree with Mo. I'm looking at that defence and I'm thinking if our forwards are on it, which they should be on a derby day, I think we should be looking to score a few goals there. I'm just putting a tweet out now. Picking our starting 11. So you can get some people in here. But yeah, I think we've got to be, if that's the team, I mean, you did say that that's your one. So Dyche could do something different. If Dyche was going to do something different, James, what do you think it would be? The five at the back thing?
I think Ashley Young will probably start right back, I reckon. And he could play Idrissa Garnaghy. But
I was thinking that actually, yeah.
He's a very good player, Garnaghy, winning the ball back, which could be good in a game like this. But I just think maybe that why change the midfield if we won 3-0 last week? Yeah. But he is unlucky to miss out. He got injured in the warm up, but I don't think it was I think he's fully back now, and he's been training, so he's well in contention to start. But it would be, yeah, it could be Michael Keane coming in and dropping one of the midfielders. Which
there we are,
another option he could do is put James Garner right back, because he's at some of his best games in an Everton shirt has been at right back, and he played there when England under 21 won the Euros. He was right back all tournament, and he was one of England's best players, I thought.
Yeah, seems a bit versatile, doesn't he? We've picked the Everton team, guys. Now we're going to pick the Liverpool team. Obviously, we can pick some spots. I'm just going to pick the ones that we pretty much know are going to play, Mo, just to save time. So, obviously, Virgil van Dijk is going to be the left centre-back. And Alexander-Arnold's going to be at right-back. I'll leave the right centre-back and the left-back for now. I'll leave the DM for now. We'll go with Szoboszlai there. And then I'll just go Mo Salah. And then I think everything else is potentially up for...
I think giving our options, so I think Diaz will definitely start.
I think Diaz will definitely start, yeah.
Just because Gakpo, Gakpo and Nunes, but both of them are definitely not going to start. So yeah.
Yeah, and if you're just tuning in, guys, before we complete this team, make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel. As you can see, there are some spots on the team that we haven't filled in yet. Please feel free to leave your comments over who you think should start at left back, in midfield, at right centre back, up front. Help us out. Help us, make a decision, really, because it might not be as straightforward as some people think. But let's talk about the left back then, Mo. Obviously, we alluded to it at the start. Robertson's probably going to be out for a while. He was coming out with his arm in a sling, which is never a good sight. It could hopefully look worse than what it actually is, but I've got a feeling he'll be out for a while. So that leaves the question, mate. Is it as straightforward as Costa Tsimikas coming in, or is there going to be a twist?
Typically, Klopp isn't one to make big risks like this, I don't think. I feel like if he was right back and we had a backup right back, I think he would still pick Joe Gomez, just because like that makes sense. And I don't think we've had this situation before, like where if Robertson's injured, then normally when Robertson's injured or there's a left-back issue, we just put Tsimikas anyway. And that's what Klopp normally goes for. And in all of our games where Robertson has started this season, it's been Tsimikas in like the cup games and stuff like that. And Tsimikas also played a few preseason games. I feel like, and especially given the context that Robertson is injured, I feel like this is even more reason he will start Tsimikas, just because I feel like if Tsimikas was to get overlooked when a left-back is injured, I feel like that could cause humongous issues. And so I know I see people say Jerome Cornish might start, or should we put Gomez as a left-back? I feel like with Klopp, it's going to be a straightforward decision. I feel like he's going to trust Tsimikas and put Tsimikas there. So yeah.
I agree. I think, obviously, I was one of those, to be honest, saying maybe try Kwanzaa or Gomez there, because Gomez did play left back when he first came to Liverpool, if you remember. He can play there. But I agree with you. I think Klopp will see it as Kostas is our backup left back. Like you say, the season we went for a quad when Robertson was injured at the start, he started then, he did well. He's done well. He's been steady. But I just think the drop off, and people will criticise Robertson and disrespect Robertson so much, but I still think the drop-off between Robertson and Tsimikas is massive. So I agree. I do think Tsimikas will start, and it's a big chance for him. It's a big opportunity. Hopefully, he absolutely smashes it. George, we'll come to your comment in a moment. Yeah, we'll do that when we go to the midfield. Right, centre-back. Obviously, Konate has been unlucky in over the last few weeks / months. Matip's been starting. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
It's a tough decision because Klopp has started Matip and he's gone for Matip throughout the whole season so far when it comes to the centre-back decision. But then also, I don't know, I feel like Joe Gomez has also played relatively well, in my opinion, also when he has played. I know against Brighton, he wasn't amazing. Against Brighton, when he came in, he was absolutely awful. He gave away the free kick and Trent definitely did a good job before Trent got subbed off. So, but that's our right back. But my instinct is saying that Matip is going to start because, like I said, Klopp, I feel like he's just going to go for a continuity. And number two, also, he started Matip throughout the whole season, so I can't see any reason as to why he's gonna switch out this season. And I also think that he's gonna want to keep Gomez on the bench just in case he might switch out Trent in case Trent has issues. In fact, I feel like he might just keep Gomez on the bench to keep Gomez fresh. So I think Klopp's instinct and my instinct is that he's gonna go for Matip at centre back 100%.
Absolutely. And just before we come to the midfield, George says, I think Gravenberch starts with McAllister and Endo having long flights. Only one starts, although still think Nunes will start up top with Jota and Simi left back, Matip centre back with Konate, France minutes. George, do you not think Szoboszlai starts then?
No, he's saying that only McAllister and Endo have had a long flight.
Right, I got you. Okay, I get you. Okay. So with that, who do you think is going to be the DM?
It's such a difficult decision because in our previous games after the international break, Klopp has started McAllister and put McAllister in anyway, even though he had a long fight that last night. I think it was the Wolves' 12th day kickoff, was it? That he just put McAllister in anyway, even though it was after a long flight. So it's such a difficult decision because he didn't play that well against Brighton at the number six. It's a 12-day kickoff, and he's come back from international duty. But this exact same scenario, Klopp still started him against Wolves, so it's such a difficult decision. And will he really risk? Will he really start Endo? He might think Endo's even an even bigger risk than starting McAllister. And I don't think Gravenberch will play six. I think Gravenberch plays, he'll play alongside a midfielder. It's such a difficult decision.
I'd go Endo personally. Do you know why? I think, obviously, McAllister was his former team and he's not really DM on his own. But I just think he was poor against Brighton. And McAllister, we know what he can offer. We've seen it. We've seen how good he can be. But I think George is right. I think with the power and all of that that Onana and Decore have, I think I would rather have, now, no matter what your opinion is on Endo, if you rate him or not, I would much rather have a natural DM in that situation than Alexis McAllister, especially if he's going to play on his own, which McAllister does for us. So I would go Endo, but I, you know, like you say, Klopp has started McAllister. I'll leave it up to you. What do you think?
I would love McAllister to start because I think McAllister's better than Endo, but I'm going to go for Endo also because I feel like overall Endo is the less risky option. I'll honestly start Gravenberch. I think Gravenberch has played well in every Liverpool game he's played so far. I think it's the perfect time for him to start because McAllister is obviously international duty, and Diaz, Nunes also, we might need someone else to also bring that intensity. I feel like Gravenberch is going to be fresh. He's going to be ready to go. I feel like this is a very good game for him to start.
And then that's just the striker, Darwin, Nunes, Gakpo or Diogo.
It's weird, but I don't think Gakpo will start regardless. I think it's going to be between Nunes or Jota. But the person who made the comment made a good option about whether it could be Jota and Nunes, because that could honestly be a shout rather than Klopp starting Diaz at left wing. But I think if I'm Klopp, I'll still start Diaz at left wing. I think he's had some good games against Everton. And I'll start Nunes also. I would start Nunes against Everton, in my opinion.
I think I'd be most scared of Jota starting up front because he always seems to bag a goal against us, doesn't he?
seems to bag a goal against everybody. He's such a clinical finisher, honestly. Such a clinical finisher.
Yeah, he's a clever player, isn't he? So is Gakpo, to be honest. Like, just very clever footballers.
James, talk to us about that team, mate. Obviously, it's pretty stacked. So there's probably a lot to unpack there. Obviously, there's a couple of players that wouldn't normally start. But, yeah, what are you saying? Like, where do you think this team could hurt your team the most? What are you most scared of? Or we'll flip it as well. Do you see any weak links that, you know, we spoke about before where you're thinking, actually, yeah, we might have a chance there?
Well, I think the front three's always, since Klopp's been in charge, the front three's always been the most scary part, I think. They score a lot of goals. The midfield, so Szoboszlai looks like a really good player, but I can't say I've watched much of Gravenberch or Endo. So I'll be interested to see how they get on against our midfield, who you'd probably say that's our strongest position. I think, yeah, the fullbacks are who we need to target, I think. Obviously, Alexander-Arnold's very good going forward, and Tsimikas has got a decent cross in him as well, but I think they'll have a tough job up against McNeil and Harrison if they're both on it. And it will be a good battle, Calvert-Lewin against the centre backs as well. I just hope he's up for it. And the goalkeeper's obviously a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean he's not bad, is he, Alisson Becker? But I think, yeah, I feel looking at that team that we just put on the screen there, I would be confident, and I know there's Tsimikas in there, and I know that there's Endo in there, and they're not everyone's cup of tea, and that's completely fine. But that's just what we're saying. Klopp could do something completely different. He could go with a centre-back at left-back. He could go with Gravenberch. He could go with Endo. He's still got loads of options, even though players are injured, which I think is the biggest improvement we've got this season. You know, we've got players that are out injured, yet we've still got options. We've still got so many different things that we can do. And I think that is a credit to the people that were on board in the summer making these decisions. Eric, I'm not reading out his name, but we'll just call him Eric, says, knowing Klopp, it will be Jota, but the form Nunes is in, if he's fit enough, he starts unquestionably. Absolutely spot on, Eric. Absolutely nail on the head. I think Darwin Nunes is showing it for club and country this season that, you know, a lot of people were unfairly harsh to him last season. And I was saying it all along. I was even saying it to Liverpool fans that were writing him off. This guy has all the tools you need for a modern-day striker. He does. He's tall. He's fast. He's strong. He just needs to polish up his finishing. And I know this season there's been moments where, you know, we've been scratching our heads thinking, how's he not scored? But there's also been clutch moments like Newcastle away where he's just come on and made a complete difference. I think it's a much-improved Darwin Nunes. I think not even his goal scoring, but his all-round play, controlling the ball, just linking up with his teammates. I think he's just improved so much. And I agree, if he's fit enough, he starts. It's just a question of whether the cramp that was reported is still, you know, playing up. But I guess we will find out. Ensman says, bless up, how you doing, mate? And Eric also says, if we're doing the inverted system, I want Endo in the six because I don't trust Tsimikas to make the back three in possession. And Endo can drop into the midfield three and Tsimikas can fly forward up and putting crosses. Endo, Mohamed, just before we move on, what do you think on him? Like, there's been a lot of criticism on him, hasn't there? A lot of people, again, I think it was because we obviously were trying to get Caicedo and Lavia and going from those two players to him. It's a bit underwhelming, but yeah, what do you think on Endo just before we move on? And do you think if he starts in this game, he'll be up for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a game that's very risky to throw him into. That's why I do think that the possibility of Klopp starting McAllister is very, very high. Just because I feel like, again, I think Klopp will go for someone that he trusts more. I think he may trust McAllister more. But assuming the end of start, yeah, I mean, it was a weird one because we were all expecting Caicedo or Lavia, and both didn't come. So we ended up getting linked to Endo, and everybody's hopes and expectations kind of plummeted a little bit. But then obviously Klopp did that interview where he really, really gassed Endo extremely, extremely high, almost to the point where, like, I was thinking, oh, how did this might be another coup from Liverpool or something like that. And they gave, and around people have to remember, they gave Endo a 4-year contract. That's for Liverpool to do that, for Liverpool to give a 30-year-old a 4-year contract is very, very interesting, at least to say, because they wouldn't do that for other players like Wijnaldum, for example. But and then again, of course, salary may be a bit different. But yeah, they gave Endo a 4-year contract. So if you think of that 4-year contract, Klopp does an interview, Gassingham, I think expectations raised a little bit again. But then, like I said, and then he started playing games for us and expectations lowered again very massively for us. So it's been an up and down for Endo. I mean, his performances haven't been amazing. There hasn't been a performance where I feel like, wow, he was great. I think he was decent against Leicester in the cup. I think he was decent when he played against them. I think in the other games he came on against, not so great, not so bad. I don't think he's been terrible. Against Newcastle, he was terrible. I think against Newcastle, he wasn't that good. But the other games, he's held himself in a decent level. I think Leicester, he played well. So, like I said, expectations have been very mixed with Endo. His performances have been very mixed bag also. Nothing to say that he's going to play amazing against Everton. So I guess with Endo, there's actually no actual assertive opinion you can give on him. There's nothing you can say that makes you think that I really want Endo to play. But I guess in this scenario, he almost has to start, in my opinion. But yeah.
And James, just coming back to you, mate, because we're going to wrap up in a moment. Just give your final thoughts after everything we've said, your predictions, and then ultimately, mate, your score prediction. What sort of game do you think it's going to be?
I think it all depends on who scores first. I think if you score in the first 20 minutes, we could be talking 2-3-0. But hopefully, if we either get into half-time 0-0 or 1-0 up, then I think we'll definitely get a result. Because we are very good at shutting out games. But if I had to give a score prediction, I'd say 1-1 to Corey, and I'd say Salah for Liverpool.
Okay, fair enough. James confident that Everton are walking away with something.
I'm not confident.
Okay, fair enough. But there's no point coming on air and talking or listening and saying, "Oh yeah, I think we're going to lose." Like you've got to.
Yeah. You've got to be positive, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Mo, what are you saying? Same question. How do you think the game's going to pan out?
I think it's going to be a very difficult game. I don't think it's going to be an early goal. I think both teams are going to be very tentative of each other and very I think we're not going to come off flying off the box, but flying onto the pitch and playing amazing only because of our conditions of our players. But I'm going to go for a 2-0. I think it could be very similar to that Everton at home game that we had ages ago during the title race 2021-22 where Origi and Robertson scored. I feel like it might be a similar game to that where I think it could definitely be 0-0 at halftime and maybe sub change the game or something like that. But I think it's going to be a 2-0 game. I think we're going to win it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Everton will score. I think they'll get a set piece or something. But I think we'll win. I think it'll be 2-1. Yeah, I think I said 2-1. I think Calvert-Lewin will get a goal from them, probably from a corner or something. I think we'll score first. I think we'll get a goal in the first 30 minutes. And then they'll equalise and then maybe we'll score a win in the second half. But it's one of them, mate, where you can see any sort of result or game happening. We wouldn't be surprised if it was a ball draw. We wouldn't be surprised if we blew them away. I think we'd be surprised if Everton won. No disrespect, James. But apart from that, I think anything else is on the cards. So, yeah, I think we've got to be positive. We've got to be confident in the team. You know, like we said before, we're in a good way. I know the last two results haven't really reflected that, but you've got to remember we were robbed against Tottenham and Brighton away. Anyone can drop points there. So, it's not too bad. It's not disastrous. I'm confident we'll win this game 2-1. And for us, I'm going to say Mo Salah. No, I'm going to say Mo Salah gets two. Why not? I think Mo Salah gets a brace on Saturday. But yeah, guys, that's all we've got time for today. Keep it short and sweet. Please make sure you smash the like button if you haven't already. Check out your foot card. You can get any card that's on Ultimate Team printed out on an A3 card like this one of Kenny Dalglish. You can also get yourself on there. You can get your own picture on there. You don't have to get a football player. You can get anything you want. And if you use TAT Pod at checkout, you get a cheeky 15% off. This has been Mohammed, James and Ben discussing the Merseyside derby. We'll also be back on Saturday evening to react to the game, what the score or result was. So thank you, James, for jumping on. Take care, guys.
No worries.
And we'll see you next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.